our culture, you know, European culture, is different than the Oriental culture. And I believe that God gave us, as I said before, only two countries came into existence directly by the hand of God, and that's Israel and the United States of America. And if you notice, after he created the United States of America, there's one sport that teaches us God's way. And only one that I can think of. Maybe you can think of others. I can't think of any. But the one sports that's from America is baseball. And do you know why that's God's sport? Because you end up right where you started. You leave from home, and you end up home. So you leave from a safe place and get back there. And the church has forgotten that. Because God gave us a reminder. And sometimes we throw the baby out with the bathwater. And God doesn't give us things because he has nothing else to do. One thing I used to hate in school is busy work. You know, once I've got something, don't bother me with having to repeat it. You know, if I know 2 and 2 is 4, now, you know, I know there are people who love, oh, man, I got this. Give me a whole sheet of addition so I can do more because I already know it. See, and I'm of the ilk. If I already know it, why are you boring me with more of it? Yeah, I want something new. I want something different. I want to learn. And so God says, I gave you the sport so that you could understand that my goal is to get you back to where we started. Because God's first plan is always his best. And he gave them a reminder. Yeah. But when we throw out the feast, we forget the God of the feast. And we're about to enter the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And we kind of forget the whole reasoning behind it. And I've told you before, when God says something twice, he says it once, it's important. If he says it twice, it's really important. And if he says it more than twice, got it, get it, don't forget it, write it down. Yeah. And he does that with the 15th of Av. It's called the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And he wants us to understand something. See, culture has taught us, and maybe that's the whole reason of sending me to Southeast Asia. Other cultures, I mean, we all celebrate when a baby's born. They don't. They cry, just like you're at a funeral. I mean, they do not celebrate the birth of a child. They do bring people together, but they mourn and cry and have prayers like we would at a funeral. And then when senior saints or someone else dies, they have a huge celebration because their thinking is, what this poor baby is going to have to face in life. Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't want to bring children into this world? Yeah. Why? I don't know. Portland? Seattle? Kenosha, Wisconsin? Washington, D.C.? Yeah. God says, I want you not to look just at what's going on, but to learn that that's not what, it's not about first base. It's not about second base. It's not about third base. It's about getting home. And so in Leviticus chapter 23, this is to remind us. This, see, and here's how I know we've forgotten it. Because this is going to remind us, it's not about Portland. It's not about this next election. As important as all that may be, it's not about the DNC convention or the GOP convention. It's about home. And he says, I don't want you to forget. So he says this. The Lord spoke to Moses, beginning in verse 33. Tell the Israelites. See, this was the one feast that was, notice it's translated festival, because all the other feasts, Passover and all them, they had the, this was centered around joy. And if there's something that's missing in Christians today, it's joy. See, I get excited when I watch the news. Other people get depressed. Because you know what it tells me? Almost home. I'm at third base, people. I'm rounding the bases. And see, I think when somebody dies, I think they just stole a base. That's all. You know, they just stole home. You know, they're home free, ultimately. You know. And you look at this, and he says, the festival of booths to the Lord begins on the 15th of Av. That's the period we're in now. Yeah. We're entering the seventh month. It's the seventh month. He goes into great detail. He says, the Lord begins on the 15th day of the seventh month and continues for 7 days. Why seven? That's how long it took to create the earth. I want you to remember, in Revelation, we'll get to the place where it says, and the third angel gave this message. Yeah. Remember, I'm paraphrasing, remember the Sabbath day. For in 6 days, God created the earth. So when God wants to complete something, he's going to use seven. And what happens after seven? See, they say, oh, you start with the first again. No, it's eight. It's eight. You'll see that in here. He says, and for 15 days on the seventh month and continues for 7 days, there is to be a sacred assembly on the first day. You are not to do any daily work. In other words, you're supposed to come together, and the reason you stop working is because it's complete. Work is complete, people. That should make you happy. There's nothing I have to do to get there. It's already done. It's already done. See, we're acting like we boarded a plane and I hate the term nonstop flight. I want my flight to stop, preferably at its destination, you know. But we've acted like we've landed, and we get out, and we go, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? There's a country song that says, I'm already there. Yeah. See, that's what Calvary should tell us. This feast should remind us, this festival, that's what should bring us joy. It's already done. There's nothing you have to do. Come on in. Have you ever gone into a party? And once again, our Western culture says, what can I do to help? What can I bring? So there's an old Christian song, and the words go something like this. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. There's nothing you can bring. I mean, can you imagine God saying, I wish I had. I mean, what does he need? He doesn't need anything. So what can you bring him? I bring you my offering. Well, thank you. I was wondering what I was going to do for food. If you didn't bring this, I don't know what I would have done. See, we don't bring this so that God will have something. We bring this simply as a thank offering for what he's already done. Because let me tell you what will happen Tuesday. I'm going to pick up pallets of food that we have a hard time getting. You know how hard it is to get rid of what God gives you? And we weren't giving enough away. So God says, Gabe, you know that next lightning strike? Have it hit their refrigerators. And Gabe goes like this. He says, they're storing too much stuff. I give it to them to give to them. And they have leftovers. They're building bigger barns. See, I've learned my lesson, God. You can fix them now. And sometimes I'm a slow learner. I talked to the repairman yesterday. He said, I don't know why, but they sent me the wrong part to fix it. He said, so I'm hoping it'll be in today. He said, it came in 4 days ago, but it's not his fault, and it's not the company's fault. It's my fault for being a slow learner, saying, man, I wish I had my refrigerators. I don't need my refrigerators. I need to give out more. Yeah. I know Stan's thinking, how much more can you give them? I don't know. God gave it all. So he says, I don't want you to do any work. The purpose really being, I'm your source. This is not your source. I am not his source. He's mine. That's why it should bring me joy. Because, you know, one of the receivers yesterday said to me, he said, you must get paid a lot of money. And so there's a prophet amongst us, Rocky. I used his line. I said, oh, I get paid weekly. Very weekly. Yeah. Because you see, about 5 years ago, I know there was an agreement, and it's not good to keep secrets, but we cut my salary way back. Yeah. Because, I don't know, you may not realize this, Promised Land is not my source. God is. You know. I don't know how he does it. I just know he does. That's the purpose. And that brings me joy in knowing. He said, well, how big is your church? I said, well, on a good day, 25. He said, oh. You know our problem? We always want more. But God says, despise not the small beginnings. You know how big our church is? Thousands. Thousands. I mean, I remember one of the pastors at Emmaus said, I would invite you to preach. He said, but if you ever came to preach, I'd swear you were stealing my sermons. Because I listen to you every Saturday, and then I preach it on Sunday. I said, well, if it's a message from God, it's fine. Yeah. So he says, 7 days, there is to be a sacred assembly on the first day, you are not to do any daily work. You are to present a fire offering. And he goes through these offerings. It says, these are the Lord's appointed times that you proclaim as sacred assembly for presenting fire offerings in verse 37 to the Lord. Burnt offerings and grain offerings and sacrifice and drink offerings, each on its designated day. They had one for each day. See, to remind them, if you're not working, see, it has to remind, the only reason I have something to give is because he gives it. It's kind of neat to come back on Tuesday and Thursday, because most of you aren't here when we get back from with the pallets. But I have no clue what they're going to give us. Yeah. And some days you may think, vegetables again. And it reminds me of the children of Israel. They probably got up and went, manna again. You know, they could give us vegetables every Tuesday and every Thursday. Because it says, when you do something for the Lord, do it without grumbling and complaining. And he says, each day these come out. Free will offerings, that means you have to want to give it. See, some people give till it hurts, other people hurt the whole time they give. Maybe I've told you about the man who was drowning, and a man went out to save him, and he said, give me your hand, give me your hand. He knew he was the stingiest man. Yeah. And he said, you're going down. Give me your hand. Give me your hand. And as he was going down for the third time, he went, take my hand. Take my. And he grabbed it. We're willing to take a free will offering. What are you willing to give? That's what God wants to know. Because the most precious gift and the only gift we all have the exact gift of is time. See, some people, if we were to pass the plate and Bill Gates was here, I don't think many of us could match what he would be able to put in. Or Jeff Bezos or Donald Trump. But you know what? Bill Gates doesn't have one more second than I have every day. And people ask, how does Trump get so much done? Willing to use what God has given him as a free will offering. You placed me here, I'm going to be a good steward of it. Time. Time. I never ask a person who has time to do anything. I only ask people who don't have any time, because that means they're already busy. Where do I get that from? Find me in Scripture where God ever called a person that wasn't busy. They were always busy. Remember Jesus' answer when his mama found him after 3 days? He was in the temple. He said, didn't you know I was busy? What was he busy doing? Trying to teach the church what God is like. And later the Apostle Paul would say, if you want to know what God is like, could you imagine yourself saying this? It's what we should be saying. If you want to know what God is like, look at me. The Feast of Booths is to teach us this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. It says in verse 20, 38, 39, You are to celebrate the Lord's festival on the 15th day of the seventh month for 7 days. This is not the first time you've heard that in this passage. After you have gathered the produce of the land, there will be a complete rest on the first day and complete rest on the eighth day. Why the eighth day? Because it's complete. See, we think after seven, it starts all over again. It doesn't. Not with God. God's saying, this is the end. What base do you run to after you've gone home? I think I'll go around again. I mean, that was so good. He says, on the first day, you are to take the product of majestic trees, palm fronds, boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Is it any wonder that as Passover was coming, what did they get? The palms. Why? To remind Jesus. See, it was coming near the end. See, we always rejoice at the beginning and sorrow at the end. God says, you've got it. Can't say that. You've got it backwards. Yeah. There's a word that goes in front of that. But you've got it backwards. He said, joy comes in the morning at the end. Sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When we come on Sabbath every week, see, we need to be thinking not of tomorrow, it starts all over again, but tomorrow is the end. And it's over. I'm going home with Jesus. It's about over. As I watch, as horrible as it is, you know, God has blessed me with not putting me in some of those positions. And I don't know whether he's blessing me or the people I would be confronted with, but it doesn't matter. And I'm watching that and I'm going, I'm almost home. I'm almost home. And he says, you are to celebrate it as a festival. Why? Because the eighth day is coming. And rejoice before the Lord for 7 days. It's hard enough for people to be excited about going to church one day. And he's saying, you know what? You need to be excited about me every day. Because you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. You know that pain you're feeling? The only reason you're feeling that pain is because I'm giving you breath. So you're to celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. 7 days each year. This is a permanent statute for you throughout the generations. You must celebrate it on the seventh month. See, you can't do it. They say it. Maybe you've heard this. You can worship God any day. No, you should worship God every day, but you can't worship him any day. He gave appointed days for you. I didn't make up the calendar. He did. If you have a problem with it, argue with him. I've learned this. He always wins. He always wins. He says, you were appointed this. It's a permanent statute throughout the year that you must celebrate it in the seventh month because it's nearing the end. You get more joy the closer you get to home. You know, when we left the combat zone, we were happy, but we weren't home. Then we landed. in Guam. Well, first we hit our landing gear, wouldn't go down. We had to go to the Philippines, so they foamed the runway, and we hit the runway on foam in the Philippines. But you know what? We weren't in Vietnam. And then we took off from there, and we landed in Guam. Have you ever seen Goonie Birds? You've probably seen movies of them. For some reason, when they land, they pick up their feet. I don't know who designed them. I think a committee. Because they roll down the beach. But when they take off, they have to run, and they start running. And we were standing in the city in there watching these Goonie Birds. And there was this wall, a breaker wall. And this Goonie Bird, and the breaker wall was about that high. And this Goonie Bird's running down the beach, boom, into the wall. And he walks back, and he takes off again. Boom, into the wall, about seven times. Finally, he's running, and he gets to the wall, and he goes, and stops. Jumps over this little wall and starts running again and takes off. How many stinking times are we going to run into the wall? But we weren't home yet. You know, we're Goonie Birds. We keep running into the same walls. You know, oh, it's bad. It's bad. It's a wall. I can't take off because it's a wall. I mean, we could go and take off again. He says, you're supposed to do it to remind you. And then it says, you have to live in booths or tents to remind you in verse 42. I keep forgetting he puts those up there. I ought to look at them more. You are to live in booths for 7 days. All the native born of Israel must live in booths, so that your generation may know that I made the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Has God delivered you? Maybe you need to sleep in a tent. Now, what they do in Israel now, they still celebrate this, but they put a tent in their living room. It doesn't matter where your tent is. What matters is what you remember. He says, I want you to remember that you didn't get out of Egypt because you're that good. You're not getting into heaven because you're that good. You're not getting into heaven because you bring more to this basket than the next person. And you know what? There's not enough here to feed people anyhow. Not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit. So he says, I gave you baseball to remind you that you started with face-to-face communication with me. And when you get home, you're going to end up where you started. He says, that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your God. And remember the lesson my daddy taught me? Only two things you need to know in life. One, there is a God, and two, it's not you. So Moses declared the Lord's appointed times. Think about this. See, as we're going through what we're going through now, we need to be more joyful. I mean, like I say so often, we act like the sheriff has just auctioned off our sins, and now we're sorry we can't get them back. In Psalm 16, verse 31, There isn't 31, but there's a one in this, 11. 16:11. You reveal the path of life to me, and your presence is abundant joy. Is God's presence here? Then why in the blank do we look like it's not? In his presence, I mean, how would you be, think about this. Jesus comes in. One thing, here's what I love about Trump. He's off to the side, and they go, the president of the United States, and he comes out clapping for himself. You gotta love that. Yeah? I mean, he claps. Yeah, you know who I am? And he actually is glad to be there. We have a hard time maybe getting some people to sing. There is joy. Joy. It's in your presence, not there is joy. I have come to bring you life and life more abundant. I have come to bring you joy, but not just any joy. Not just woo, but woo! Jesus! He's here. Abundant joy in your right hand are your eternal pleasures. In other words, you know where you left from? I'm bringing you past first, bringing you past second, bring you over to third, and home again, jiggity jig. Abundant joy, not just joy, joy like you actually mean it. More people are upset that they can't go to a sporting event than are upset that they can't go to church. That's their problem, because they can go to church, they just choose not to. Because I think we sing a song, "Ain't Nobody Gonna Steal My Joy." Psalms, you know, are really songs. And years ago, haven't found it. Maybe I can find it. When we used to do prayer meeting back in Portsmouth, Virginia, we would always sing songs at the beginning. But we wouldn't use hymnals. We would use the Bible and would sing scripture. You're about to be tortured. And we would sing, and the redeemed of the Lord will return and come with singing unto Zion with everlasting joy will be upon their heads. Think about that. Think about what this. David wrote these to be sung. Fine, Jay, your assignment. You remember Mission Impossible? Your assignment this week is to find the music for Isaiah chapter 51, and you have to find it in King James. It says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord will return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. Think about that. An everlasting joy. Home again, jiggity jig. Don't look just at where you are. Think about where Jesus was. If that's all he had to look at, I'm thinking when the oil was poured upon him, the alabaster jar, oil is hard to get rid of. I think his hair still smell. And when they slapped him, his face was over into his hair and in. Home free. And then when they tied him up and they were beating him, he could still, because he said, "She is anointing me for my death." And hanging on the tree, his head turning like a sick man on a hot pillow. And we think, oh man, he's breathing in pain. No, he's going for the smell to remind, I'm at third base. Almost home. Almost home. Almost home. People were almost home. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen to me. I'm afraid of what will happen to people who are put in front of me. Because no weapon formed against me will prosper. And I don't care what Satan throws at me, the gates of hell will not prevail. Think about that. I get excited to think about not just I'm going home with Jesus, but I'm going home with Jesus soon. 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 And he gave us this time of the year to remind us that I'm your source. I'm your way out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing. Nothing gets to the Father unless it comes through me. That should bring you joy, because we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by our infirmities. I mean, if he just knew what it was like to be me. I mean, do you know how people treat me? Think about this. Fake news. People calling them liars. Not even getting paid, donating my salary. And how do you come out on stage? I am so glad to be here. Joy. Joy. Leadership by example. It doesn't matter what they say. It matters what he says. And he says, an everlasting joy shall be upon their head. See, eternity doesn't begin when Jesus comes. Eternity begins now. And I don't know about you, but I can remember having the championship softball team in Lynchburg, Virginia, going up against Liberty University, and we beat them. I mean, we were just a small church. We beat Liberty. I mean, they had professional, the people on their team were going to the pros, and we beat them. Well, sort of. They made an agreement with the other team because the other team had beaten us all year, and they said, so they're going to beat you in the playoffs, and we win every year. So, tell you what we'll do. They made an agreement. We just won't show up. And then it's like a forfeit to this other Baptist church. So we get in the game, and it was the ninth inning. And we had this guy, he didn't know how to play, so he would start swinging from here. And swing, and he hit that ball. We had two guys on base. We were down by two runs. And he had a home run. And we beat him. We had one more team to beat. Liberty University. But they were nowhere to be found. See? Oh, I know. See, it doesn't matter that they didn't show up. What matters is we took home the trophy. Think about that. See, we're all worried about the game, and oh my, it's going to be bad. We're going to have to face Liberty. We're going to, and our team was going through that. You know, we don't know if we want to beat these people or not. Because if we beat them, we're going to have to play Liberty. I mean, their team, most of them are going to the pros. You know what? You have to worry about that once you get through this game. Don't worry about it before. I didn't know the song Home Free back then. But after we won that game, that's what I would have been humming when Liberty didn't show up. Home Free. Alter, whoop, whoop. You beat Liberty, you know. Yes, I did. You're that good? Well, I managed. I managed the team. Yeah. How did you do that? I managed. Think about it, people. It doesn't matter. We're all concerned with first, second, third. When we should be looking at, God wants to bring you all the way around and have you end up where you started. How was that? And God walked with Adam in the cool of the morning. Wow. Angels would give their eye teeth for that. Then why do we look the way we do? We're about to go home with Jesus in a moment. I think the way the scripture puts it is, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. I'm not going to be like Esau and sell my heritage for a bowl of lentils. And I like lentils, but not enough to give up my inheritance. And I'm going to start living. I'm already home. That's why when people say, "How you good?" Not because of what's going on, but because of where I'm going. I'm going home. I'm going home. Going home with Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, when I think about this feast you gave, Father, 6,000 years ago, to remind us that you're our source, that you're our provider. Father, when we cease to work, you can begin to work. That it's a done deal. It's already accomplished. We don't work toward victory. We work from victory. Oh, Father, how dare we neglect so great a salvation? So, Father, just open our minds and pour in that everlasting joy. Oh, so we, too, can come singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be put upon our heads. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for reminding us that we will end up where we started, home. That we're almost there. Father, we're not even rounding third base. We're past third base. We're in a squeeze play between third and home. And we need to hear you saying over and over and over again, "I got this." And when we get there, you're not just talking to us then as a third base coach. You're the umpire that gets to say, "Safe, safe, home at last, home at last. Praise God Almighty, we're home at last. Until then, we will sing with everlasting joy." We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, "Now to him who is able," he already paid the price, "to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, everlasting joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever."